Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Minnesota Bound podcast, the stories behind the stories. I'm Laura Sherry, your host for today. And joining me is Christy Boyke, who is a grief advocate, who has a wonderful story about she and her father in regards to what was a sad story turned into a story of helping others through grief and with the use of a bluebird house. Christy, welcome to the Minnesota Bound podcast.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I saw your story online, of all things. I was actually Googling some information on birdhouses, and I was in the action of trying to find a birdhouse maker. And your story popped up on my Google page, and I started reading about you and your dad and what you have done with something tragic as the loss of your mother. And you've turned it into a spectacular story on helping others through grief with the use of bluebird houses. And I thought, I need to talk to Christy about this story. And I think it's a wonderful story. And you know, and a place to start, I guess, is, you know, how you and your dad originally even started building bluebird houses.
Yeah. You know, bear with me, cause I usually tend to get pretty emotional when I go all the way back from the beginning.
Cause I can imagine.
Just such a really difficult time for us. My mother had breast cancer when I was in high school, and she went through all the treatments and everything, and we thought she was in remission. And her and my father were walking on the boardwalk 4th of July, 2017-ish, and she started walking sideways and she was getting headaches. So they left early, and we found out that she had a brain tumor that had metastasized from her breast cancer diagnosis a couple of decades before this. So it was just a really tough time for us. It was, you know, I just had my fourth baby, and they were just celebrating 30 years married, and she had just turned 60, and they're talking retirement, and it was really difficult. So yeah. And I think a bigger part of the struggle for me was watching my dad. I think that was the hardest part of losing her, was watching him lose her. Cause it was just, you know, that helpless feeling.
Yeah, I can only imagine. First, I'm sorry to hear about your mother. The losing someone to cancer. There's so many of us that have had that same story in our families at some place, and it's tragic because obviously there's not a cure for it. So many people that don't survive cancer obviously are gone too soon, and the grief from that can change families forever.
Absolutely.
I have had friends of mine that have lost siblings and, of course, parents, and they're just never the same afterwards. And the grief stays with them, and it comes in waves, and grief has its own timeline for healing. And your dad and yourself found a unique way to help.
Yeah, he just, you know, after her funeral, he couldn't be in the house with all the pictures and the smells. And my husband worked weekends, so I would take my children out to his house, and I'd bring him meals and change sheets and all the things that she used to do, because I think he was just kind of paralyzed in his grief. And being with your spouse for 30 years alone, grocery shopping and cooking for yourself and that kind of stuff, my heart just broke. So he just, you know, in the middle of the night in January, she loved the little bluebird, and he would make bluebird houses for her and get them prepared for the spring. And so he started making birdhouses just to keep his hands busy. And I had just been desperate to help in any way that I could. And I finally said that to him at one of our last get-togethers before he told me about the birdhouses. I was like, please just let me know if there's anything that you need me to do more than we're already doing. And he said, you know, I've been making these birdhouses. And he brought me out to the shop and he showed me about a dozen birdhouses. And he was like, if you could just help me get rid of them, I want to make more, and I'm tripping over these. So I made a Facebook marketplace listing, and I shared just a little bit about the reason why they were being built. My mom had passed, and it was just to keep hands busy through grief. And it went viral overnight. And we ended up on the Today Show and in People Magazine. And I presented at a global commerce event with Mark Zuckerberg because I used the marketplace feature to, in essence, build a global community of support. And we just kind of uncovered a craving for community and grief. There were so many people that were inspired by what I was doing to help my father and how my kids, our family came together to help build the birdhouses just to share memories. And the bluebird was something that she just loved. So it helped us feel connected to her still. And it gave us an organic way to grieve and talk and share. And I think that aspect of it was the reason why it became bigger than us. You know, we sold about 25,000 of them when all was said and done, and never really anticipated it being a business. But I think it was just that community piece, and people were just so inspired. You know, some of them even shared about how they picked up a hobby because they were so inspired by how we were using our hands. And I think that piece of it, that connection piece of it's the reason why I was so moved by it. And it was just so helpful for our grieving process to share so organically about how hurt we were.
Oh my goodness. And what was your mother's name?
Her name was Pat.
Pat. Did Pat ever share with you what it was about the bluebird in particular that she loved?
I think that she just liked the migration piece. They came back, you know, right after the winter time, you know, we're all just kind of itching for good weather. And that vibrant coloring was what she was kind of drawn to. And I didn't realize until much after she passed, it was the community we created that actually shared this with me, that the sky blue coloring on their back and the earth brown coloring on their chest is representative of the heavens meeting the earth. And it's got a global symbolism of joy and happiness. So we were spreading a little joy and happiness in the face of adversity. And just the little pieces like that, the little tingles that continued, just made you feel like you were doing what you were supposed to be doing. And she had a hand in it.
Absolutely. I feel like those are like winks from God, they say.
For sure.
When all of the connectivity that has happened through your mom and her spirit still lives on today through the bluebird and the bluebird houses. But I just am in awe anytime I hear those stories about the connectedness of our spirits to nature and how, you know, it still comes back through nature in some way through, you know, the same thing when they say you see a cardinal. That's, yeah. You know, a very spiritual animal. It's an ancestor that's visiting you, types of things. And I pay attention to a lot of that when I'm out. And this story is no different from that, of how her spirit still lives on through, your giving peace and hope to other people as much as she enjoyed it through the bird.
Yeah. She was just the epitome of love and light for us. I just thought about love every time I thought about her. And to be able to continue to feel that and live out that legacy with what we've been doing. And it wasn't something that we even, you know, tried to have happen. It just organically kept coming. You know, it created a path of its own. And I feel like it was her. It gave us a reason to come together. And that natural aspect of nature itself, that unification piece, I think in a time where we were all so disconnected, everybody was kind of looking for that thing that ties us together, and it's love. And even at the end of life, love is what you get to hold on to.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And what were some of the stories you were hearing from others in regard to a bluebird house? What was it about the bluebird house that they wanted? Were their relatives or loved ones? Did they have an affinity for birds, or what was it that you were hearing? I mean, to sell 25,000.
You know, it's just a house. Yeah. Well, and I think when we went to the Facebook headquarters and presented at that global commerce event, that's kind of when it highlighted that it really wasn't the bluebird house. We were just making the Peterson style bluebird house. I've got now they're 20, 17, 16, and 8, but Noah was just 2 when she died. So he was our little hander outer. When people came to pick him up, he'd carry them to their cars. And so my 7 and 8 year olds were making them themselves. It's just the Peterson style that we were building. So I don't necessarily think it was the actual birdhouse. I think it was the story and like I said, my dad didn't have Facebook, and social media is, it went everywhere. People were sharing family members, and then it was teachers, and we were doing workshops with, you know, we were building them, and then people asked if we could help them build them. So then we started hosting workshops where people could build their own. And then they wanted us to travel around the globe basically to host the workshops, and it became bigger than us. It was just, it was like a craving for community and grief. And I was the one that was trying to sort through the thousands of messages with people that were looking for grief support. They were looking for counseling. They were looking to share their stories. They wanted to talk about how our story impacted them. And the Bluebird wasn't like the hierarchy of it all. It definitely was there. The magic of the Bluebird was there. But I think it was just the underlying aspect of grief and how hard it is, how painful it is, how taboo of a topic it is. And that kind of sparked a little bit of my hobby, I guess. I was writing different rhyming stanzas as I was connecting to all these people that were reaching out. And I had to create a Facebook page just to keep the order separate from the people that were just wanting to talk and share. Mm-hmm. And I'm not an authority on grief. I had just lost my mom. And sure. I kind of put my grief on hold about my dad just because I saw how heartbroken he was. Mm-hmm. And I still was responsible for 4 little kids. So it was just that aspect of, I could basically relate to everybody that was reaching out. And so I created also a grief support group within the Facebook page called Rise Up Bluebird. And it was basically to put everybody together so they could start helping each other and share with each other their grief stories. And that kind of fueled the fire on top of people more so talking about how the biggest issue they were facing through their grief was being responsible for the little hearts in their lives while they were trying to struggle through their own grief. And we were living proof of that. So Rise Up Little Bluebirds kind of happened organically also. And it was funded by that community we created after I shared a couple of the stanzas that I had been working on.
And will you share with our listeners, I know what Rise Up Little Bluebirds is, but will you share with our listeners what you created from you with the Bluebird and the grief through your mom?
Yeah. It just kind of kept organically turning into things. And in that children's book, I was looking for resources to help the community because I was hearing that people were struggling, trying to find resources. And the books that I was looking for contained, you know, they were, the ones that I saw were euphemisms and inauthentic verbiage. And I just wanted a black and white way to explain how grief affects a family and normalizing the big emotions that I was dealing with my kids and myself and, you know, the anger and the sadness and the fear. And then how do we keep the memory of our loved ones alive, doing the things that they loved? So that kind of just inspired this book. And I wrote it dedicated to the community we created, but in memory of my mom. And I gave the illustrator pictures of her and pictures of my kids. And she made the birds in likeness of my family. And it just kind of travels around and shares just our story and how important community is through grief and normalizing those conversations and highlighting that love is what we get to hold on to.
And do you have is there a part of the book or a phrase of the book that you feel is you'd want to share with our listeners in regards to grief? Is there a line in the book that stands out to you as I don't want to say your favorite because the whole book is your favorite, but if there's a certain part of the book that you feel is like really speaks to your mission statement of allowing people to lean on each other during these times.
Yeah, I have a couple of really good ones. I feel like even with this book, it just kind of organically has turned into like speaking engagements at different schools and cancer organizations. And I basically now I'm doing workshops with the book and just using your hands through grief and talking about my story and how it affected people and my family and how we coped with our loss and our big emotions. But I think the most important stanza that I took from what I was writing was everyone grieves differently and there are lots of good ways to cope, but helping those you love through sadness is what can give us hope.
I love that. What is Now you're also doing reading this book to kids in schools. And do you think yeah. that is also, you know, not only teaching them that obviously at some point in their lives, they'll be dealing with grief, and also that it's healing for you and to be helping everybody else?
For sure. I think even in the very beginning, my grief experiences, it just was catapulted with all the love we received. And that speaks to the mission of all of this, I think, is just being organic about how hard loss is. And then ironically, my book was published just before COVID, and that just took on a whole different aspect of it, because just in general, it highlighted how ill-prepared we are to have conversations about loss. And normalizing those conversations is kind of where my platform is. I think that's where this all kind of was meant to lead. And I think that there was a gap, and I am very passionate about putting something in that gap and trying to help people with what I experienced. I think that community aspect and just, you know, bringing people together, the unification of grief being something we're all going to be touched by at some point in our lives. And how unfortunate that we aren't talking about it more, and we're not normalizing and preparing for it. And my mother, she passed away at Our Lady of Peace Hospice Center in St. Paul, Minnesota, and they're run off of donations. And that's kind of where we started funneling all of the proceeds from the birdhouses. So I've been pretty closely connected with them. I'm just starting to work on monthly workshops for grief and families that are dealing with loss and end of life and that kind of stuff. So I feel like it all kind of led to where it's supposed to go. But for sure, it's highlighting those conversations and normalizing the big emotions around grief. And then how do we keep walking forward and keep moving forward while holding space for grief? That's definitely where this was meant to lead.
I want to thank our friends at Connecticut Water. No doubt it's been that sort of winter, like record weird. No snow until late. Very little cold. Not a lot of time on the ice or the ski slopes, you know. This year I've been busy coaching youth hockey, and it's sort of funny, but the Shirk boys, they never leave the house without filling their water bottles, and it's always Connecticut Water. We have Connecticut's whole home water system at both the house and also at the cabin. We also install Connecticut's K5 drinking water system. And let me tell you, those things make a big difference. It's crazy to think that a water system could matter, but it does. The Connecticut installations were quick and easy. No more stinky, foul well water. We now have Connecticut soft water and the K5 drinking water. No more bottled water, just great water right out of the K5 tap. Our laundry no longer smells funky, and Connecticut Water cleaned up the showers and the dishes too. The world's most efficient, worry-free water system. Visit Connecticut.com to find a dealer near you and join the Connecticut family. Also, we want to give a shout out to Lakes Gas. Hey there, Bill Shirk, the man about the woods. Propane, it's clean, efficient fuel produced right here in the United States. Schedule your propane service with a friend. Lakes Gas, a family-owned provider serving the upper Midwest for more than 60 years. 54 convenient locations in Minnesota and Wisconsin. Now with offices in North Dakota and South Dakota, too. Lakes Gas employees live in the communities they serve, so you can expect personalized service from professionals. Oh, and the Lakes Gas offers competitive pricing without all the extras that tend to drive up fuel prices. Safe, dependable service. Lakes Gas, the right choice for your home, business, or farm. Visit lakesgas.com and join the family.
And being a grief advocate, you know, when people come to you to not only, you know, just to have a conversation about their story, but what is the advice do you find yourself giving people most about dealing with grief?
I think it's just the organic nature of it. You know, it's going to hurt. It's meant to hurt. And as long as you're authentic about that piece of it and just reaching out for help, that's the biggest part of it. I think my dad himself is just a little bit more reserved in his nature. And this just, it forced him to talk about it and to share about it. And that piece of it is a large part of the reason why I feel like he was able to do as well as he was, you know, a little bit quicker than any of us really kind of anticipated. It's just that piece of it, of just owning how difficult it is and sharing about how there's just certain days that are going to be harder than others, and allowing yourself that space to just kind of breathe through it and, you know, keep moving forward.
That's very true. I think many times people don't want to feel it. And at first, that's probably a very common response. And I'm guessing that's why your dad started building bluebird houses, to stay busy. And of course, there is a connection there back to your mom, Pat. And, you know, at first, how many hours do you think he was spending building bluebird houses? You know, of course it was a dozen at first, but then when the demand started coming in, what was his response to that?
We kind of had it down to a science, but it was really hard. I feel like the first couple of months after her funeral, it was a really tough span of time. And I think it really quickly turned into, I'm going to borrow your two oldest boys for the weekend. And then that was just really helpful in itself, that they were able to share time together and have a reason to be using their hands. And it was a distraction, but it was also a platform to just kind of be together and share together and do something in her memory. You know, the circle of it all is kind of how I am able to keep moving forward, feeling so peaceful about how this all worked out, because it was such a beautiful thing. And I think it was several hours a day. You know, he couldn't sleep. He had a really hard time sleeping. And I made that Facebook listing and people were sharing it in community groups and in church groups. And I live in a small town in southern Minnesota called New Prague, and it's a little neighborhood. And there was a line from my neighborhood all the way down 21, probably 50, 60 miles deep of cars waiting to get into my neighborhood to come up to the driveway. And some of them were buying birdhouses. Some of them would buy 10, 20 at a time for families to paint together. And that was another aspect of it. People were buying them to do their own workshops, and they would paint them. They'd paint in memory of, like, one group was sports. There was a Vikings one that was painted, and then they'd put them up and take pictures and send them to us with little bluebirds inside of them. But there were also the people that were ordering online that didn't have bluebirds in their area. They just wanted it because of our story. And I just think that's it. That's the highlight of all of it. Just the connection and people coming together and turning something tragic into something beautiful that can house new life.
If you think about it, it's the magnitude of how far your mom's memory has expanded into people's lives. And that, what was your thought process when you see this, you know, having something go viral like a video is one thing. When you have a product that you're making in memory of your mother, and you weren't really doing it for anybody, and all of a sudden it takes off, and you have hundreds and now thousands of people that want to share in this memory and also have it relate to their own memories. What is your thought when this is happening? Like, were you just in awe of this? I can't imagine. I mean, how many birdhouses to date do you think have been sold and or given?
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty close to the 25,000 number, but I feel like it just, that was incredible. The crazy piece of it. It kept going, and it probably could have kept going. My dad actually got remarried, and his priority now is her family and her kids and their grandkids. So it's been a little challenging in that aspect too. It's just grief in general and how it plays a role in different ways. But I feel like it's not over yet. There's still a bunch of things that I've kind of thought about, you know, organically happening after all of this, but we did need to just kind of step back and reassess, because it was meant to be a business. but people were wanting like mealworm feeders to attract the bluebirds to the house, and then flower boxes for the mealworm feeders. And like the thought was just, it was really overwhelming. And we, keep in mind, we're like super tender fresh after her funeral when all this happened. And sure. People were asking for grief advice, you know, for their stories. And we were right in the mix of the thick of it. You know, it was a really difficult time. But at the same time, I feel like how blessed to be able to connect and share. And, you know, we're talking about my mom, and then we were hearing other people talking about their aunt or their grandpa or their brother, or their dog or their goldfish, you know, grief. It's such a unifying piece to share about. And how beautiful to have something that makes it easier for other people to talk about, or to inspire other people to use their talents the way we did with the book and the building. And it's just, you know, pour what hurts into something that can help, turning 100%. Pain into purpose.
You know, and really, like, I always say there's no way around it but through it. And especially with grief, the more you put off feeling any sort of hurt, sorrow, pain, the things we don't want to feel every day, I think the longer the grief will sit on your shoulder. And this connector piece of what you and your dad have shared, and as it just kind of grew on its own, really creates talking about it. Yeah. And when you can talk about it, is your way to get through it, because you're almost releasing some of the sorrow and the wound that is there. And that's the way to heal the wound. Absolutely. And that's what I think is so beautiful about your story is that I think nature heals anyway, like stepping outside, sitting under a tree, laying in the grass, all of those things are so healing for our bodies and our souls. And this is another way that your mom, who had an affinity for bluebirds, and her spirit is still here, you know, cheering on the what you guys are doing through the helping others to grieve. I mean, what an incredible memory of her. Like,
yeah, I feel like that's the bigger piece for it too, that I keep coming back to, is I feel like the power of community is what we experienced. And if I can give even a sliver of that to other families who stood where we stood, or who are standing where we stood, what a gift. You know, she was love and light. And I remember her in nature. I remember her in the bluebirds. Every time I hear one or see one, or somebody talks about one, or I was just in Puerto Rico over the weekend celebrating my husband's work achievements. And what are on the tiles of the floor in the hotel are little bluebirds. See? And it's everywhere. It's such a unifying piece. And I think that nature aspect is huge for this. And I just am so thankful for all the people we've met and all the connections we've made, and to be able to have a message of hope that was created out of all of this that I can share with others.
100%. And you now are, I'd love for you to share with our listeners, you also have workshops that I know you'd mentioned that you were doing some in St. Paul, but do you have other workshops that you do throughout the year that talk about grief, or do you work on bluebird houses, or do you go through your book? How do your workshops work?
Well, the workshops with the birdhouses kind of were organic too. It was grief centers and cancer organizations that were reaching out, wanting us to host and share our story, and then have their participants make or build or paint birdhouses in memory of somebody that they've lost, or that piece of it just organically happened with the kits and stuff like that. But it's the same with the book stuff. I feel like we had made, or I guess I did when I reached out to the organizations when my house became not a big enough location for the pickup events. People were staying long enough to need the bathroom. And it was not what my neighbors expected. It was just a really crazy time for those pickup events. And we had them every Saturday for a good couple of months out of my house in New Prague. And I think those connections, that's kind of what led to, there was a woman that had come to one of my pickups and just saw all the people in my driveway with Kleenex in their pockets, just like they knew the story. They just wanted to talk to us. Wow. And she was like, I'm so touched and inspired by your story. And I want to host you at my garden center in Bloomington. So the Bloomington Garden Center is where it started. And we did our first community pickup event there. And then other organizations had seen that. And then they offered their spaces. And we kind of started traveling all over the place with pickup events because it outgrew my garage.
And is wild.
With the book now, too, it's different schools that are specific to what we've been talking about. It's just normalizing grief conversations, especially after COVID. And highlighting how grief affects people in different ways and pulling out the emotions. I've got anger, sadness, and fear worksheets so that we're talking about emotions and we're sharing about what it could look like and then how we keep memories alive and how we keep moving forward. And that piece to it, I think, is that's been really neat to see and having schools highlighting that. So I've been doing workshops with garden centers, with schools, with daycare centers, and then ages from early childhood daycare centers all the way up to assisted living facilities, specifically because grief is universal. It's mm-hmm. not, it's, and with my book, it's birds. So there's not really, it can be a symbolization for anything. It's goldfish loss, it's dog loss, it's grandpa loss, it's brother, it's aunt in general. It's just how grief affects you and how grief affects the family. And I think that's pretty beautiful too, to be able to have it be so unifying. But with the garden centers, I'll do workshops with little clay pots that families can personalize so they can paint in memory of somebody and then plant forget-me-not seeds, because I highlight forget-me-nots within the book as well. And then through the hospice center, I have a woman that makes me little wood-burned bluebird ornaments that have been turned into coasters or Christmas tree ornaments or just to hang up in your house. So people will paint and personalize a bluebird. But like you said, too, it could be turned into a cardinal or a dove. But I like the aspect of using your hands through the conversations about grief and loss and doing book readings and signings and that kind of stuff, incorporating the using your hands piece. So it's kind of an endless opportunity.
Got the winter blues? Start planning your summer. Plan on fun and get out in the water with your boat club. Your boat club offers boat club memberships and daily rentals with access to over 40 bodies of water and over 400 brand new boats to enjoy. Whether you want to cruise on a pontoon, create waves in a speedboat, or reel in a big one on a fishing boat, your boat club has got you covered. Unlimited boating memberships are available now, starting at just $1.99 a month after a one-time initiation. Life is better on the water. Find out more today at yourboatclub.com.
We also want to thank our longtime partners at Star Bank.
Hi, everybody. Ron Shera here again with another nifty story, this one about my favorite bank, the story of Star Bank. There's 10 of them in Minnesota, but here's where the plot thickens. A Star Bank is more than money. A Star Bank cares about its customers, cares about the community, whether it's town parades or the kids' baseball team. Why? Because Star Banks are locally owned. They treat you right. Quite a tale, wouldn't you say? How do I know? Because Star Bank is also our bank at Ron Shera Productions. Just another story with a happy ending. Star Bank, the bank that cares. Member FDIC. To learn more online, go to star.bank.
Our sponsor, Tito's Handmade Vodka, is America's original craft vodka, distilled from corn and naturally gluten-free. Over 25 years ago, the first batch of Tito's was made in the heart of Austin, Texas, and tomorrow's batch will be too. Tito's tastes just as good with tap water as it does with your favorite mixer. Tito's makes the good stuff for the good times, too. You can find recipes, videos, and more at titosvodka.com. True adventures are crafted together. And Tito's Handmade Vodka is also pledging to protect where we play by working with nonprofits to protect and enhance our national parks for the present and future generations to come. To learn more, visit titosenvironmental.com.
What do you feel it is about using your hands that really helps you? Is it the physical movement of your body that's helping the grief kind of work through your body physically, but also emotionally when you're verbally talking about it?
Absolutely. I feel like that's what I just got full body tingles watching my kids and my dad making the birdhouses in memory of my mom. And then as we were leading the workshops with the organizations that wanted the kit buildings and the families that wanted to have us show them how to make their own, I think that was a big piece to it because we were all together doing the same thing and experiencing the same things, you know, and that piece that I'm going to keep saying, it's the universal experience of doing something together and the concept of turning pain into hope and pain into purpose. You're talking and sharing. And I think as you're physically putting something together, doing something with your hands, or just in general, you're moving your body, and it just helps the thought process just kind of keep coming out naturally. I think that was just really powerful to see everybody doing it together and using their hands together.
Very powerful. And you said people would send in pictures of bluebirds using their bluebird houses. Did you receive a lot of those?
Oh, yeah. I can't even tell you. I feel like there were just thousands of little bluebird eggs and little bluebirds that were hatched out of my family's birdhouses. And it was just so cool to see that. And then, you know, they come back every year. If they find that nest in that house and they claim it, they'll come back to the same one year after year. And I think that piece of it too, and how the bluebird in specific, after the eggs hatch, the hatchlings then will come back and help with the next brood. So the family's taking care of itself. I think that's kind of what we were doing also with my kids were helping my dad with the birdhouses, and that piece to it, it makes me emotional.
100%. It's such an image of all, like the circle of life as well as,
yeah, for sure.
You know, the passing of your mom, and the support and the hope she gave others through the bluebird house also turned into almost a conservation effort of bluebirds, because you have all these houses going up and now you have new life out of it. Like, yeah, there's the birth of the new life of the bluebird, of the species that she loved the most. I mean, it's so cyclical and lovely. It's the most beautiful story.
Yeah. And it just keeps going. I feel like that safe place to land was definitely etched in my mind, you know, all around the board. That's kind of, Our Lady of Peace kind of coined it when they were talking about our project. They say that their hospice is a safe place for families to land. And then that's kind of what we created in our houses for the bluebirds, and just those connections, those little tangles of love and hope and turning pain into purpose and helping others with the help we've received, and just all around the board. I could keep going on about all the little tangles. It's her. I feel her in all of those exchanges and 100%. All the people that talk about it. Like, it helped them in their grief process, just seeing us, not even having to say anything or even purchasing a birdhouse, but seeing that we were so open and honest about how difficult grief is and loss, and then having COVID be what it was for everybody, that the disconnect, sure, we were all feeling, having something that unified us and a message that brought people together and kind of highlighted how, as isolating as loss can be, we're a little less alone when we help each other through.
What a beautiful message, Christy. The whole story has me in awe. I personally believe, you know, even you and your husband seeing bluebirds on the hotel tile is not just a coincidence. I feel like it's these things the universe presents, your mom's spirit presents. It's just a little nod that she's still with you. And I just love your story and how much you're helping others and the connectedness, and what you say is true. It really is love and connectedness that we all really crave and need. And many times we get so busy in our lives, we forget that, and until we're hit with something such as a loss of a loved one. And then we hit the floor and we're like, oh my goodness. And it kind of brings us back to really what's important. And that is the connectedness we have with each other. And, I also believe connectedness we have with our earth. And this is the perfect combination of that.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. It's nature, nurture.
Yes.
I'd be more blessed by all the connections and all the people. And I'm so thankful to be able to feel her and to see the way that we're able to help even a little bit in a space that's just so difficult to maneuver.
Well, Pat is I she is smiling from the heavens above. My goodness. She's like, oh, I'm not done yet. She's like, just wait what I have in store for you guys. You're going to have to do a little bit of work. However, I'm going to help some other people. So I love your mom for that too. But if our listeners wanted to read your book or maybe see you at an event or workshop, how would they be able to find you?
So I've got Rise Up Little Bluebirds on a Facebook and Instagram page. And then I've also got a website, riseuplittlebluebirds.com, where you can purchase a personalized copy of it. And it also states where all of the bookstores and shops are located that are carrying it currently. So that's a good way to figure out also where the workshops and events are going to be as well.
Incredible. And, you know, we really didn't touch base too much a little bit on how your story got picked up nationally. So this was not just a quick, you know, local story. You had mentioned that you were on the Today Show, People Magazine, Martha Stewart article, the Daily News, CBS Minnesota, Makers of Minnesota, Today Show podcasts. I mean, I could go on and on the amount of places that your story got picked up. That alone also is just incredible. I mean, it's fascinating to see just something go viral like that. And of course, this is such a wonderful, warm story. But again, I just feel like your mom had a hand in that too. She's like, we're going to make sure a lot of people know about this.
It started with a Lonsdale Area News Review. I think
really?
One of the people that had picked up one of the early birdhouses had shared something about it in their church group. And the Lonsdale Area News Review reporter came out and was like, I would really just like to do a story. And she posted it and it printed in that Sunday paper. And I think because I used Facebook Marketplace, there was a representative from Facebook headquarters that had reached out and said that they wanted to do a story. And so Mark Zuckerberg sent out a team to do a Community Voices piece on my dad and I, and wow. He filmed a pickup event and shared it at a lot of their conferences and internal things about how Marketplace was helping communities. But I don't think they even anticipated the community we were able to build from that selling feature. So they were just in awe of what I was able to create basically for my father. And it was out of love for him and out of care for him that I even created the Facebook page itself. So it was all just love, and love is what we get to hold on to in the end.
That's so true. And I'm so happy for your dad that he was able to find love again. That is also, I think, important part for all of us that we continue to love and have the hope that we will find love again when sometimes, if it's unfortunate that a loved one leaves us. So I'm happy for your dad that he has, found love again. I think that's also really special and a very happy ending to, you know, your mom's spirit still lives on, and that, your dad was able to find some peace with that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Time doesn't wait for anyone.
No, that is so true. Well, Christy, I really appreciate you joining the Minnesota Bound podcast today and sharing the story of your lovely mom, Pat, and the story of grief and how powerful grief can be, and not only, of course, in a sad way, but also in a way of connecting with others and also connecting through a place of love. So it's just a beautiful story. So I appreciate you sharing it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. It was an honor to talk to you. And I appreciate just the time that you take highlighting stories like this. I feel like I'm honored to be here with you.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you. You are a connector for people to connect together through your book and the birdhouses, and you're just doing wonderful work. So keep up the great work. And again, if you are wanting to connect with Christy or purchase her book or see where she'll be at a workshop or an event, you can have your webpage up in front of me here. It's riseuplittlebluebirds.com. Again, Christy, we really appreciate you taking your time.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you again, Christy. And also thank you to our sponsors, Kinetico, Lakes Gas, Star Bank, Tito's Vodka, and Your Boat Club. Last but not least, remember, introduce a kid to the great outdoors.